Good afternoon, folks, on this great day in paradise in southern Arizona, Tucson metropolitan area. I am Maurice Cerrone from A. Handy Man's Haven. We're transmitting today in the A. Handy Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. My wife and I are owners of A. Handy Man's Haven. We've been in existence for 20 years, going on our 21st year. It's been a great ride, as both of us have retired from airline flying in the past and having a great time enjoying the Tucson atmosphere and the fine weather here. I was talking to somebody yesterday. They said they moved to Tucson because they don't have to wear so many galoshes and big heavy coats and parkas and headbands or something to keep themselves warm. So it is wonderful from that standpoint. A. Handy Man's Haven has two locations. The Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That place is a six blocks south of 22nd Street, where the big yellow building, as you're going southbound on the west side or the right side of the avenue. As most of us know, avenues in Tucson generally go north and south, and the roadways that are labeled as streets generally go east and west. That keeps you pretty well oriented from that standpoint. Our phone number at our Tucson location is 520-624-7200. Our hours of operation generally are from 9 a.m. in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. We stop loading customers' products at 4 p.m. since we're in the process of shutting the store down for the evening and getting ready for the next day's activities. Our website is www.ahandymanshaven.com. And I emphasize the word shaven because there's no apostrophe in a possessive word in any websites. So even though it's A Handy Man's, apostrophe S, Haven, it looks like ahandymanshaven.com. We have a Green Valley location. It's located at the northern end of Green Valley off of the Duval Mine Road exit on I-19. The address there is 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. Using the same website, if for some reason that the phone is not being answered in Green Valley, it immediately moves on up to the Tucson and will answer the phone in Tucson. So don't be shocked or surprised when you dialed one number and you got another number in another location. The hours of operation in Green Valley are normally from about 8:30 in the morning to 4 p.m. in the afternoon, maintaining the consistency of the Green Valley residents and their activities throughout the day. I do emphasize that those people who came in the store this past week, or we had phone conversations as a result of information that was presented on the Hammer Time radio show, I appreciate that very much, and thank you very much for honoring us and coming on down and saying hello to what's taking place and seeking more information for various activities concerning your do-it-yourself projects that you may happen to have. Or you need to have referrals or suggestions for many of the crafts area that we are familiar with because of construction, but we do not necessarily provide the manpower, women power, in order to accomplish the task. They've also offered many suggestions, and we try to adhere to those as best as possible. So some activities. Individuals request, as we well know, the customers, they request the moon, and we try to get them back down to the earth in order to provide them with what they would like to have. A lot of times the customers do not understand very well, and I can understand this myself because sometimes it's very surprising to me also that the amount of time and activity that it takes to produce a product for you that where you can go ahead and purchase is longer than what most people think about. As a result of working with electronics and everything else involved, there are many challenges that come along, and we have to substitute activity levels that so we can accomplish what needs to take place. A lot of times we use a collaborative effort in our customer operation base on how to solve the customer's problem, because maybe we've never heard of it before, or we haven't seen the requests or seen the pictures or things that they would like to have. But needless to say, we are extremely successful in whatever the customer is asking for. Probably the biggest thing that always occurs is the budgetary measures associated with what they ask for and what they would what they think it would cost. And a lot of times there's a lot of misinformation out there concerning that. A lot of the things take labor. Most of the raw products do not come from around Tucson, as an example. They're all shipped in. And many times we are faced with the inclement weather that is associated with the areas that we have to supply, that we receive our supplies for. So one of the activities we're very proud of is our countertop production. Not only do we provide quartz countertops and all-natural stone countertops, and customers ask, well, what do I think is the best countertop available? Well, if you put everything into the bucket to try to figure out what is the best concerning the financial end of it and the installation edge of it and everything else, I would say that the laminate countertop is probably the most profound countertop. Yes, you can get involved in other type of countertops, such as the natural stone countertops, and then also what Consumers Report suggests as the number one countertop in the industry is the quartz countertops. All of them have their pluses, and all of them have their minuses to a certain extent. But when it comes right down to the end of it, the laminate countertop today built by the Formica company as well as the Wilson Art Company. There are a couple other companies that also produce laminate countertops. They seem to have the most flexibility, and today they even have some of the greatest styles available from that standpoint. The laminate countertops, as an example, like laminate flooring, is nothing more than a photographic image of some item that they've taken a picture of and then repetitively developed that picture and produced of the countertops in itself. Formica, as many of us know, is a trade name that's been around since the 1900s, and in and of itself performs as well as any countertop that is available, whether it's engineered, so to speak, made by the human beings, or whether it's a natural stone that comes from the quarries. One of the main things in the laminate countertop is that you can get what we call a fully formed backsplash associated with that countertop. It's formed right into the laminate counter, the laminate production itself. With today's modern machinery, you put all the raw materials on one end and it comes out of the other end, and it's all basically finished. The type of operation or the machinery itself costs millions of dollars and produces countertops rather rapidly. It heats it and it molds it and it glues it together, and the way we go. That is the biggest advantage of that countertop, even though there are some other subtle advantages, is that that's probably the lowest price countertop available. We can do a lot of different things with it that they can't do with natural stone. They can do it normally with quartz countertops, and also acrylic solid surface countertops, because of the glues that are available today that affords them that opportunity. But the Formica or laminate countertops, they come in up to 12-foot lengths, so to speak, linear lengths, and they can come as wide as 40 to 45 inches when we talk about bar tops. We at A. Handyman's Haven can manufacture that countertop. We can make it 60 inches wide or deep, whatever term you want to use, in one direction, and up to 144, 145 inches in the other direction. So we have a lot of capability when we put this together, as we try to develop the best countertop for the customer. We've completed our first segment already in talking about countertops. There's a couple more items I want to mention to reemphasize. But we are on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Our production engineer is Kent, and so we'll, Kent, have you take it away, and we'll see you after the break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A Handyman's Haven, and we're transmitting today in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. I also invite each of you, the listener, as many of you also know, that you can call in, be on a live line, and speak to the public, just like I am, on 520-790-2040. So give us a call with some unique things that you have going on, and share it with the listening audience, and we'll have a great time discussing it from that standpoint. So I was talking about laminate countertops and the greatest advantage that they are. And I did mention the price from that standpoint, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But one of the main things that's of a concern is the safety of a laminate countertop. And in the safety, I'm really talking about the health associated with it. You can pretty well clean a laminate countertop with most general cleaning or washing materials that are available, and without having any question about what it may be. A laminate countertop is antimicrobial, which means it does not develop microbes and bacteria and of that nature. That's contrary to all the natural stones. All the natural stones are porous, just like the porosity of the grout lines if you're going to use a ceramic or tile-type countertop. And that in itself will produce a lot of microbes as you clean it continually with whatever chemicals you're going to use or the food particles that you have on your countertop, and as you wash them off, they impregnate it into the pores. And consequently, natural stone countertops and tile countertops require a tremendous amount of labor periodically throughout the year. There is discussion that some people say that I've never sealed my countertop natural stone. I don't think that's advisable. The bacteria that could develop as a result of food particles being impressed into the pores of the natural stones can develop mold and algae and bacteria build up underneath the countertop itself. And we did have a situation like that occur with a customer that decided to remove their countertop after they could not find where the odor in their home was coming from. So the advantage of laminate, again, is it is non-porous, so it's antimicrobial, it's hyperallergenic, it's easy to clean, it's stain-resistant, and the only countertop that approaches that, which is quite a bit more expensive, are the quartz countertops, because that's also the same characteristic of the quartz countertop, the ones I have just mentioned. The things that all countertops are subjected to that one ought to think about it is that heat will basically ruin almost any countertop. Maybe a little bit hotter temperature of something if it's a natural stone, but it can scorch it. Natural stones are always, they do produce markings even with water. In fact, many people do not realize that water is what really creates the distinctive colors and flow patterns in natural stone, because you can tell exactly where the water has moved through the stone itself due to the porosity of the natural stones. So keep that in mind. If you want to live with the big people, I guess, buy the most expensive countertop you can. If you want to save a little bit of a cash in your pocket, you can go with a laminate countertop and get something that's just as beautiful and pristine and will last you a long period of time. So at A Handyman's Haven, we have a starting price of our laminate countertops. You can obtain 12 feet of laminate countertop with an integrated backsplash as one piece for basically $9 a linear foot. We carry seven colors in stock in various price ranges, and that can get you all set up for your counter. Those types of countertops are rather easily to produce. We do, like I said, carry seven colors in stock. We can get your countertop out for you, generally speaking, in 3 to 5 days, predicated to some specifications that are required. The additional cost that would go with a countertop would be, do you need the finished ends taken care of? Do you need side splashes? Do you need any mitered cuts? That's when you have a right-angled wall, or any splices that you may need because your length of countertop required is longer than, say, 12 feet. So keep that in mind with your countertops, and they should last as long as you can ever imagine, as long as you take care of them. I just mentioned some items that you do not put anything hot on a countertop. I don't care what type of countertop you use as your material. I would not drag anything across the countertop, such as the heavy implements or pans or frying pans or things of that nature, the cast iron ones especially, that can scratch or score no matter what type of countertop you have. And do not put anything hot on any countertop. Always use a trivet, a butcher block board, a cutting board, or something of that nature to keep the heat away from it. The trivets themselves will dissipate the heat in a longitudinal axis, which will cool off rather rapidly from that standpoint. So much for countertops. Come on down to see us, and we'll get you all taken care of. I'd like to talk a little bit now about the DIYers, the do-it-yourselfers in their own shop, and whether it's their garage or a personal shop that they have, maybe like the Yankee woodworker that's been on television for many times in the past. But vices, almost every do-it-yourselfer that works with wood or steel or something has vices on benches, and that's what they plant a lot of material in it so they can crank it down, hold it in place, and do a lot of manipulations with it with various tools. One thing that occurs in the old-time vices that you bought, and many companies used to make them were utilized quite regularly, is that they came with wood handles. I remember going to Sunnyside Elementary and Junior High School and taking wood shop there. And sure enough, the number of tables we had, and the number each table had a vise. They were generally made by the Pony Company, the Jorgensen Company, or Milwaukee Tools. Many of us know how long, maybe they don't know how long, but we know that Milwaukee Tools has always been a really good, solid tool company throughout. And then there's many others today that provide a lot of great tools. But the amount of tightness that a piece of wood or something like that takes when you are trying to manipulate it to do various activities, you take that wooden handle, a part of the vise, and you crank it down as tight as you can, and before you know it, in time, you maybe overstress the wood and it snaps on you. Yes, it is made of good, durable hardwood, but the constant use of wood and the amount of torque or leverage that is placed upon that can actually snap it right off. As you're tightening a board or something to the production. So what do you do to replace it? You had to go out and buy another piece of wood. They were rather hard to find back in those days. I'm sure today you can find them online and pick up a handle. But an easy way of doing that is just go down and get yourself generally a 3/4 inch piece of pipe, which happens to be the interior diameter of the type of a pipe. Get yourself some caps. That's just as if you were going to run a liquid through that pipe. You want to cap it off and cut it to the length you want. The longer length that you make that handle, that means the more torque or moment that you're going to apply to the vise, and that can be somewhat destructive to the vise because you are going to receive a restriction when you crank it down and tighten up the materials there. You could also probably dent the wood, especially if you're using pine or something of that nature. You could put a permanent crease within the wood structure with the flat plates of the vices. The shorter handle that you have, that means you can use less torque or less leverage. Many of us have used pipe wrenches as an example to loosen up fittings. And if we can't get it loose, we go out and get a big piece of pipe that's 2 or 3 feet long, put it on the pipe wrench, and now we've got, instead of a 12 or 14-inch pipe handle, and now we got a 3 foot or a 4 foot pipe handle. And I'll tell you, folks, if you put 10 pounds of pressure on a 4 foot pipe extension like that, you got 40 pounds of torque on the other end. You can pretty much snap almost anything off when you take something like that. So keep that in mind when you're trying to repair your vise, because you've snapped the handle from that standpoint. I'm going to touch a little bit on water purification at this time period. And I will admit and put a disclaimer out there, I'm not a water expert, nor am I a chemist, or do I understand all the nuances associated with impure water. But obviously, we like to drink purified water without having any adverse chemicals in it. And one thing, as we well know, that one of the great water softeners that we had over the years is impregnating water with salt. And that in itself is very destructive towards the plant life from that standpoint. Well, folks, we've come to the end of our second segment. This is Maurice transmitting in the Ahaney Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And Ken is already over there with the music, and so we'll see you after the break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time radio show. I am Maurice, transmitting in the Ahaney Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We ended the last segment with a little bit of discussion starting on water. I'd like to continue that to a certain extent, but like I mentioned earlier, I am not a professional in the water situation. I do read magazines and understand, and I'll give you the magazine that I've been reading concerning water purification and things of that nature. Anyway, if you have a writing implement and paper available, the magazine that I'm referring to is called Water Quality Products, and their website is www.wqpmag. So that's Water Quality Products, or Whiskey Quebec Papa, then Mike Alpha George .com. They have very interesting articles, very technically oriented articles on water products. And a couple of things that are pointed out is the PFASs. It's Papa, Foxtrot, Alpha, Sierra. And that basically are chemicals, so to speak. And the definition of the PFASs are any chemical that has been designed by man to be utilized in industrial and products that contains the chemical itself contains carbon and fluorine atoms as the backbone for the product. And it has some extremely unique features. A lot of times we hear about situations that occur around military installations. And we do have several of those available in the Tucson area as well as in the entire Arizona complex. And these chemicals are used as cleaning agents and various things of that nature. The benefit of a PFAS is that the product, once it's combined into its format to be utilized in certain things, it's basically indestructible. And that is such a great product from that nature, and therefore is used not only around military insulation, but is used in many products that we as humans use throughout the daily activities. PFASs can be found in your carpets. It can be found in cookware because of its cleaning ability. Upholstery, mattresses, car parts, food packaging, facial moistures, nail polish, and it goes on and on and on in what these items are found in. And like I said, when you combine the carbon atom with the fluorine atom, they are many times, as not all the time, indestructible, and therefore they can be used in these products that we enjoy so much. I know we see advertised on the television periodically about people cooking in a frying pan and they slip it right off the frying pan onto the plate and it's just in perfect tact and there's no stickiness on the frying pan or so on and so forth. It's not like the old cast irons that are porous, as an example, that when you go cooking in a cast iron and you made some chili or whatever it happened to be, and you know, you've got all that stuff in there, and after it's all through, you throw it upside down over the campfire and burn it out as much as you can. And then you don't do like a lot of people do. They get a bar of soap and try to clean it out. And guess what, folks? All that soap is impregnated in the pores. And the next time you cook with it, you're going to be eating soap. And if you've ever eaten soap before, I think it has some unusual activity level on the human body from that standpoint. So you better stand by for the activity. But more and more, the PFAS compounds are becoming something to be recognized. It's like I mentioned earlier, it has a very unique property or properties, and one of them is the heat resistance. That's why we see it in so many cooking materials. It also repels water. So they're using it in a lot of probably paints and things of that nature in order to get the water repelling activities. And it's also very close to being indestructible, as I mentioned earlier. Has a strong bond, as I mentioned, between carbon and fluorine atoms. It's extremely useful in all manufacturing, industrial, and commercial products available. So if you'd like to find out more about that, you can go on the web and just search for a Papa Foxtrot Alpha Sierra definitions, and you can come up with articles that will define for you what they can and cannot do and what the difficulty may be. It can be difficult to the extent of what does it do to the human body. And as most of us know, long time, a large time that these items that occur, you may not have any problem with them today, but they linger in the body for a period of time, and it can produce cancerous and other type effects down the road. So keep that in mind. The magazine, again, is a water quality magazine. So its website is www.wqpmag.com. And surely that'll come up and give you a lot of information concerning the subject I'm talking about. We do have the University of Arizona here. They do have a major water division, and I'm sure you can call them and get some information and talk to somebody with a lot more expertise than I have in this area. So keep that in mind from that standpoint. I'd like to talk a little bit about now about changes in construction. What effects can we anticipate in the construction field as major changes? And some of them happen to be, and they're probably consistent throughout the time period, because technology surely does force us in different issues as things come about. So a lot of times the amount of skills needed to do a certain project itself can be changing. I talked about a company not too long ago that now has robotic sanders in order to smoothen out their wood, their sheet goods in the wood field. And it's just like the CNC machines that are used today, the computer numerically controlled routing systems that almost look like very robotic type machines. They're all programmed to do certain things from that standpoint. Along with artificial intelligence today, the machinery that is being built integrated with the digitization makes a lot of items a lot simpler. Many of us can remember of years ago, and they're still used today, a drill as an example with a cord that goes into a receptacle to utilize the electricity. Today we're using battery-operated or lithium battery-operated tools Another item would be such as the old hammer and nailing of putting sheet goods on or two-by-fours together in a framing. Now we have impact wrenches, as they're called, even to put the lug nuts back on your automobile wheels. But you can get framing nailers. You can get roofing nailers. You can get brad nailers. You can get micro brad nailers, pin nailers, as they're called, and all sorts of tools that make the job go considerably easy. So less skills are required in just hammering a nail. And if you want to check out the skills of somebody that maybe hasn't used a hammer or nail in a long period of time, see how good they are in driving a 16-penny nail into a sheet goods or doing any framing and see how that comes out. So unskilled workers today can do the same job of what we call a journeyman in years past. Another effect of changes in the construction field is going to be the reduced crew size. As many of us know, if you want to dig a ditch and you have the space available, you can surely use a trencher, automatic piece of machinery from that standpoint, with a driver on board. And you can surely dig a trench much deeper, much faster than you could if you're using a pick and a shovel and whatever it happens to be. Also, the elimination and need for a specific trade. And I just mentioned one a little earlier about the robotic sander that is just like the routing system that a CNC machine uses. I remember being in college, and we didn't have the computer-generated type system, but when IBM came out with their card deck, as an example, you had to make these punch cards, and you put them in a numerically controlled machine. The C was missing on the front of that acronym. It was just a numerically controlled, an NC machine. We used to have these big card decks, and that was the front end of the card deck was the control deck, and then the back end of the card deck defined where it needed to go and what it needed to do. I think I've shared with you many, many moons ago, so to speak, that when I was running the scheduling operation or supervising the scheduling operation for Continental Airlines and for all the pilots, that the director of our scheduling division, who had a PhD in physics, as an example, but was a self-taught software designer, he said, if the card deck doesn't work, back in that era, just shuffle the deck. And so I didn't think anything about it, and the buddy of mine that was with me, we didn't think anything about it, and sure enough, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, we get a call that our scheduling operation is not running, so we go down there and take a look at it, and we shuffle the deck. Boy, we thought it was a 52-card deck, and boy, we shuffled it like you wouldn't believe and thought it was good enough. We didn't even get back to our point of residence at that time period. We got another call from the computer expert, says it failed again. I says, okay, fine, we'll address the issue tomorrow morning. The director of our computer scheduling division, when he told him, he says, how come this deck looks like this? I says, well, you said shuffle the deck, so we shuffled it. He looked at us, and if he had spikes in his eyes, I'll tell you what, we would have been penetrated like you wouldn't believe. That was the dumbest thing that I think any one of us could have said to a software person using IBM's card decks in order to define the job. So don't shuffle a card deck if you're involved with the IBM cards. Fortunately, they're not used anymore. Another change that's going to occur, fewer trips to the job site. You know, you've got workers on the job site with today's cell phones and cameras. I think even the inspection department of the building trades are doing things by the camera. You can take a video and transmit it right to them on their cell phone, and they can approve your or pass your permit or permitting process that you have to accomplish. So I'll finish with the rest of these things, but looks like we've completed our segment here. Coming up in the final one, we'll have Kent take it away. We're Transmitting in Ahaney Men's Haven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice, transmitting in the Ahaney Men's Haven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We have two locations in the southern Arizona, one in Tucson at 1724 South 6th Avenue, and the other is in Green Valley at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas. A general phone number for any one of our facilities would be 520-624-7200. I've been talking a little bit about the changes in the construction field as things have come about. We talk about passing the permits and the inspections, and many times we're doing that by taking videos of the job, transmitting them on our cell phone to the inspectors, which saves a lot of time and energy from that standpoint in order to get the operation completed. So one of the other things that is occurring, it says fewer trips to the job site. So many times the customer is very generous with their time, and they'll use their cell phone to transmit pictures to us as an example on what needs to be done or where the problems are, and we don't have to drive out to the job site to take a look at the effects that are taking place, and we can offer a solution from that standpoint. So that's one of the major changes that has been occurring, and it will continue to occur as time goes on. Also, allow for easier payment of workers, especially by piece rates. And as many workers can sign in off their cell phone that they're on the job working, and then you can continue, and when they leave the job, they can sign out and never have to go back to the home office in order to complete their duty for the day. So there are cautions. Saving time for one worker does not always translate into overall time savings. That may get more complicated. Another thing is echo tracking, as an example, is a term used to track your automobiles. And you may want to know where your automobile may be. You may want to change the assignment that so you can divert from one to another because of an emergency, and then take care of the emergency handling of any phone calls. So that becomes vitally important in order to correct some major issues that may come about as a result of that. So you may save a lot of time on just time-consuming activities. Many times that you have to leave and go get a part, whatever it happens to be. You may not know where that part is going to come from. You go to the closest area that would handle the parts of that nature. So that becomes very important. So a lot of savings can occur from that. When we talk about echo tracking in automobiles, I do know that there's a company in town that can set you up with your trailers also. They can, any trailers that you may have, you can track those and see what takes place. I remember one a friend of mine was telling me that he found his automobiles parked at the convenience stores longer than what he thought they should be, and he found out that it was so-called the ice problem. So he bought an ice maker for his business, and he said he did not want to see any of his employees stopping at any of the convenience stores buying bags of ice that took over a half hour sometimes to buy the ice. So they could ice up at the plant before they left and have all the ice water that they needed to function from that standpoint. A couple other items that came to light this past week is shower heating systems. There are special heaters available that can be installed in the floors of your shower. One that we know about is like radiant heating, but that has to stay, has to be waterproofed. So most shower floors are very complex. It doesn't seem like it is that way. But one has to be very careful that you reduce the slickness of a shower floor. Heavy grout lines are very important in that nature, that so your bare skin on the bottom of your feet can latch onto the surface when the soap suds are all over the place, so you don't slip and fall from that standpoint. As many of us know, one of the famous astronauts of years past slipped and fell in a shower and became out of commission for a long period of time. So keep that in mind when we're talking about the areas of that nature and heating of your shower. One of the other tips that I have seen that may be of importance to a lot of people is, how do you make a small room look larger? Well, there are some simplistic answers to that. One of them is, and I thought this was very unique, is allow the furniture to have its legs showing. And the more you think about it, in one aspect, yes, that gives you a lot of airy looking rooms throughout the area. But the other thing is that you have to clean underneath the couch or the chair or whatever you have there, which if the everything was covered up to the floor, that you would have to do that. But that does make the room look a lot roomier. This one I find fascinating is ditch all the clutter. Well, clutter can be somebody's salvation, but clutter may be something not important to other people. So one should be reducing the number of knickknacks, artificial plants, and other decorative items that makes make a space supposedly feel open and larger. So all the clutter that you may have around, the coffee table, the end table stacked up with all sorts of stuff, is the clutter you don't need. Sheer window treatments, that's pretty important. We have I have a friend of mine that his expertise is in to sheer or all sorts of window treatments. If anybody needs some information on that, please give us a call at A. Handyman's Haven. I'll give you his name and his company name, and you can surely contact him, and he can surely assist you in all the activities that you may need. Less furniture in a room gives you more floor space. How unique is that? It gives the appearance of more square footage that you can maneuver around in. It does not only does it give you the appearance, but it will make the room look larger because of that. A light color scheme. Most of us know about light colors. Somebody who paints the light-colored walls and puts a dark ceiling, it may look like the ceiling's about ready to crush you on the top of your head. Try a monochromatic look on your walls or whatever is of that nature. Using one color in various shades or textures. This will keep the room open and airy. And one thing is important, if you don't realize how to mix your cans of paint when you get them, you could have that automatically accomplished. You know, one thing that you should do if you're using 3 or 4 or 5 gallons of paint in separate 1 gallon cans, you should get a large 5 gallon bucket and mix all those, 4 or 5 gallon cans together. That's so you get a constant hue, throughout your, painting. So those are some things that could be very important in making your room look larger. Lots of windows, lots of glass, light colors, and removing the clutter. Clutter always seems to have a way of maneuvering in the room. There are people that I call a flat surface storage or flat surface storers. Seems like every flat surface that they have has something on it that is a major storage thing that should belong into other locations from that standpoint. So with that being in mind, folks, we're coming towards the end of our program here. I have enjoyed being with you this weekend. We have a great football game coming up and hope your wonderful team wins. And I am Maurice, transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And we'll see you next Sunday, folks. Have a great week.